As I thought about this text for the last couple of weeks, I've looked at it from a couple of different angles. And on the surface, it looks like a lesson in good manners. I mean, all of our parents taught us to say thank you when someone has done a kindness for us. We saw that pictured very well up here. All of the children knew please and thank you as the magic words. And so we have learned that lesson. And sometimes I think when we look at this story, it's a temptation to put ourselves in the place of that one leper who came back and say, yes, I'm like the leper who came back. I alone was thankful. That is not the way to look at this text. Anytime we start telling stories about Jesus, we put the focus on Jesus and not on ourselves. And so today we're going to try to see Jesus more than we see us. So at the very beginning of this story in Luke, we find Jesus in the area of the Galilee. And as he was walking along, he heard rather than saw 10 lepers who were standing at a distance, as the scripture says, and they hollered out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, these guys had leprosy, which in the days that this story was told in the Middle East, leprosy was a skin ailment that could mean anything from psoriasis to full-blown leprosy. But the general population saw that as unclean. And so when lepers walked along the road, they had to wear a bell on themselves so that when they were coming, that bell would ring and all of the clean people could get out of the way. So you can imagine what it must have been like to live as a leper in those days, completely devoid of interaction with other people except all of the sick ones who were sick like you. And so as those men call to Jesus and ask for mercy, the first thing that comes to mind is that it is clear to me that they knew who Jesus was. They knew him as someone who would give mercy to others. And so really, at the very beginning of this story, these men are asking for something that they already know they're going to receive. But in response to their question, Jesus tells them to go and present themselves to the priest. Now, I just want to know why he didn't say, mercy is yours, go in peace. That's not what he said. He said, present yourselves to the priest. And so as they went, or while they were walking along, or before they got to their destination, they noticed that their skin was clean. And so it turns out that Jesus gave them more than they asked for. They asked for mercy, and instead they received healing. Jesus gave them new life, a chance to become part of society again without stigma or illness. He sent them out together to be made new, called together by the voice of Jesus. Now, one of those guys, though, comes back. That would have been a pretty good story all on its own without the one coming back. But the story has us know that one comes back, and as soon as he notices that his skin is cleared up. And listen to verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And notice it was the Samaritan, the outsider, who came back. You see, he knew that the source of healing was God, and he gave God credit for it. Now, this was more than a mere thank you. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. Can you get a visual image of what that might look like or feel like if that was you? That kind of gratitude comes from deep within. And so what we can decide from this is that that Samaritan was not just merely healed on the outside. he was healed on the inside as well. He experienced inner healing, the kind that other people can't see. It's one thing to be devoid of lesions on your skin. It's another thing to have your heart made right with God. So when he returns and Jesus says, well, where are those other nine guys? They make note of the fact that the other nine did not return. And then Jesus says, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Now, I want to talk about that word heal for a minute. In the first part of this passage, the Greek word that is used for heal is eoimai, and it is used twice. And that Greek word pertains only to physical or outer healing. That's what the nine lepers heard, all 10 of them actually. But then when the one Samaritan came back, Jesus says, stand up and go, your faith has healed you. The word used in that passage is sozo, much easier to say, by the way. But it is a Greek word that means healing inside. It has to do with our inner being. It has to do with salvation. It has to do with God's presence. And so Jesus is saying to the Samaritan man, you have been made whole. You have been healed from the inside out. You know, we know that it's one thing to get well, and it's another thing entirely to give God credit for your healing. I mean, how many of us say, I've got a doctor's appointment today, I've got this, I've got this. He said to take these pills, and after a few weeks, I'll feel better, and I might need some surgery, but it'll only take this long to recover, and then I'll be good as new. That's one way. Here's another way. I've been to the doctor, and he says, I have this or that. Would you please pray with me about the outcome of this? We're going to put it in God's hands, because I know that God is in charge. That's another way to look at our healing, to know that it's not just the outside. It's the inside that needs to be healed as well, maybe more. In his book, With Open Hands, Henry Nouwen talks about the differences between praying with your hands open and with your fists clenched. He talks about the people who pray like this are praying what he calls prayers of little faith. You see, the nine lepers were satisfied with receiving from Jesus way less than Jesus was willing to give them. And so Nouwen says that people of little faith pray like children who want a present from Santa Claus, but are so frightened of the holy man that they run away as soon as they get their hands on the package. They would rather have nothing more to do with the old bearded gentleman than getting his gift. In returning to Jesus, the Samaritan showed his desire to know Jesus more than someone more than a person who could just relieve his physical suffering. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. Now that shows us this passage is way more than an excerpt from Miss Manners. It illustrates the fact that we all have direct access to Jesus, and that Jesus is there waiting to be in relationship with us. That Samaritan knew that there was more to receive from Jesus, and he wanted it. He desired it. He yearned for it. Healing goes so much deeper than relief from physical ailments, and giving praise and thanks to God is the way to inner healing. I have spent lots of time with different people who were preparing themselves to leave this world. You know, as believers, we know there's more than this world, right? And that eternal life is ours. And there are many ways that people get ready for that. If you're a doctor or a nurse and you've been at the bedside of someone, you know what I'm talking about. But every time I'm with someone and we all have accepted the fact that it's time to get ready, I always ask them the question, are you ready? And some of them say they're afraid. And some of them just shrug their shoulders and say, I guess. And some of them hang on so tightly because they are convinced that their families cannot get along without them. And then there are some who fight tooth and nail so that they will not have to go through what is sometimes called the ultimate healing. But then there are some. When I say, "Are you ready?" They're usually in a bed, so I'm looking down at them. And I say, "Are you ready?" And this big smile comes on their face. And I say, "Yeah, I am. I'm ready to end this worldly suffering and go home to my Savior where I belong. And I know where I am going." And that takes us then to Ephesians, that part of the letter from Ephesians, which was written to a group of believers. And that would be us. Am I right? You can say amen if I'm right. All right. And so Paul is talking to the believers at Ephesians, or in the city of Ephesus, when he says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." That's all believers. We've all been called by God. There was no condemnation of those 9 lepers from Jesus. Did you notice that? He didn't say, "What an ungrateful bunch of people." He just said, weren't there 10 of you? There's just this one. And there was no gloating from the Samaritan. Look at me. I'm the only one who came back. All that happened was Jesus blessed the Samaritan and sent him on his way. All 10 of those men were called, even as they called out for mercy. Because the minute any of us invoke the name of Jesus, we are calling to him and he is calling back to us. And so Jesus sent them out, but only one came back when he realized not that he forgot to say thank you, but that he was healed inside before he even got to the place that Jesus sent him. He knew that his healing came from God alone. And that is a wonderful gift for all of us to know. And as he prayed, "Thank you, Lord," praise God, that prayer of praise, not only was it a prayer of praise, it was a prayer of risk. Because when we're healed, especially from the inside, the way that Samaritan was, we change. Everything changes. Our lifestyle changes. The ways that we view other people changes. Our relationships change. Our expectations of other people change. Everything changes when we can feel the healing that comes from within. Those who follow Jesus, the community of believers, are bound together by his love and by their knowledge of who he is. We are called to agree on the teachings of Jesus and to listen to the teachings of our early mothers and fathers in the faith. We're members of the kingdom of God before we are members of the culture in which we live. I want to say that again. We are members of the kingdom of God before we are members of the culture in which we live. When we continually focus on human beings among us, neglecting to give thanks and praise to Jesus, we become those who, like the 9, can recognize him from the sidelines, and sometimes we even become indistinguishable from those who can't recognize him at all. 10 of those men received a gift, but 9 went away unchanged by it. 9 went away happy with less than they could have had if only they had gone back to Jesus. As many of you know, C.S. Lewis, have you heard of C.S. Lewis? C.S. Lewis was an atheist before he was a Christian. But as he became more intimately acquainted with Christ, as he became more intimately acquainted in the community of believers, he started reading the Bible, he started praying, and he started understanding that maybe there was more to this than he had at first thought. he noticed that the Bible constantly calls on believers to give thanks and to praise God. To give thanks and to praise God. We are constantly asked to do that. And then he also noticed that there was a connection between personal well-being and gratitude. Listen to what he said. This is C.S. Lewis talking. This is not me. This is me going, oh my gosh. Listen to C.S. Lewis. I noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced minds praised the most, while the cranks, the misfits, and the malcontents praised the least. Now get this. He says, praise almost seems to be an inner health made audible. Did you hear that? Praise almost seems to be an inner health made audible. Wow. The nine lepers had an encounter with Jesus from a distance. They almost treated him like a rock star. It's kind of like standing out there on the courthouse and saying, oh yeah, I saw him way over there on the other side of the courthouse square, and that's about as close as I ever got. How hard would it be to just walk across the courthouse square and say, thank you, Jesus? As you walk this week, whether you're walking on the courthouse square or in the grocery store or driving in the car, whatever you're doing, get this visual image that you're walking right next to Jesus, that he's walking with you, that he's whispering in your ear, and that you're thanking him for all that he has given. Think about the fact that Jesus is not someone way over there, but that we have direct access. Jesus does not call us to stay the same. Now, I'm going to ask you to say that with me, but you're going to say me instead of us. This is so awkward. I know y'all hate it, but we're going to try it. So we're going to say, Jesus does not call me to stay the same. Can you say that? Jesus does not call me to stay the same. One more time. Y'all are good. Jesus does not call me to stay the same. He calls us to be transformed. To be citizens of the kingdom before we are citizens of the world. And so may we this week keep that in mind as we walk along the path that he has put before us. And as we see him face to face, not way off in the distance somewhere. Don't holler out at Jesus. Speak to him closely and quietly and intimately. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.